I want to thank Rabbi Miller again for a really tremendous Shabbos, for leaving Eretz Yisrael to join us in Boca. And I want to particularly thank him for adding on a Chabura tonight. And by the attendance, it seems that people are hungry for the Torah. So we're really appreciative. And obviously all of our learning tonight, with your permission, will be bezchus a speedy recovery of the three kidnapped teenagers.
By just a second, Jerry Moskowitz's words that in Eretz Yisrael, everyone was asked to be involved in two areas to try and intervene with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all should be well with the three young men. One of them, of course, is davening, and we've been adding our Tehillim every tefillah since the kidnapping. And the second was that everyone should add a mitzvah, particularly Talmud Torah. That a person should just learn another few minutes every day. And since this is a chavura that wasn't originally scheduled, so clearly is an augmenting, is an addition to our normal learning. And so we will, in Yirtz Hashem, it should be for the zchus of the return of the three young boys. I thought that tonight, that since we've been dealing with two different realms, I've given a number of chavuras in Gemara and a number of chavuras in Hashkafa. And the Gemaras that we've been learning have been Gemaras that have had halacha lemaisa ramifications to deal with the Gemara that has hashkafa ramifications, to deal with the world of Agadata. And so in the source page that I printed out for you, there's a sugi over here on Shabbos on the Yud Amud Beis. Yud Amud Aleph, we learned on Shabbos, the sugi, Sunday morning, we learned the sugi of Hikon. That was on Yud Amud Aleph. This is on Yud Amud Beis. There's a whole series of statements of Rav that we have in the name of a student of a student. Amar Rav Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. A student of a student of Rav brought down a whole list of statements, and the Gemara deals with each of them. So if you look about 11 lines down in the Gemara on the Yud Amud Beis, there's the two dots over there. Amar Rav Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. We'll read through the sugya and then we'll talk about it. Hanosein matana l'chaveru. Someone wants to give a gift to his friend. Sarich l'hodio. He has to write on the gift, on the card, who it's from. Shene'emar l'da'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. That when God gave us a gift called Shabbos, he informed us that he, God, was the giver of the gift. Tanya nami hachi. We have a braisa that agrees with this statement of Rav. L'da'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Again, the proof text from Shabbos. Amoya Kadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, Matana Tova Yeshli leBeit Ganazai. I have a very, very special gift in my treasure house. V'Shabbat Shema, and the name of this gift is Shabbos. V'Ani Mevakesh Nagli Yisrael leChodiam. I want you to inform Klal Yisrael that God is giving them this gift. Mikana Rav Shimon Bar Gamliel Hanosein Pat leTinok. So Rav Shimon Bar Gamliel learns from this halacha lemaisa that if you want to give an ice cream cone to a kid, tzarech lehodia le'imo. You have to inform the mother that you gave him the ice cream cone. May ovidle. How do you inform a mother? The mother's not around. And if you tell the kid probably forget by the time he gets home. So amar abaye shoyif le mishcha. What you can do is put some sort of a mark on his face. Put a little oil between his eyes. Umali lekucha, or take some eyeshadow and make a circle around one of his eyes. And then when his mother says, my goodness, what happened to you? He says, oh, so-and-so gave me an ice cream cone, and he did this to remind me, it's like putting a string around your finger, he did this to remind me to tell you. In the time of the Gemara, there was a period of witchcraft, and one of the tools of witchcraft was to put all sorts of, make incantations and put various creams or eyeshadow on people. The mother will be scared out of her wits when she sees her son. She'll think that he's been bewitched. My, so what does one do? Amar Rav Papa Shoyif Le Me Oso Amin. If you will give the kid an ice cream cone, take a little ice cream and put it between his eyes. The mother says, why do you have ice cream between your eyes? Oh, so-and-so gave me an ice cream cone. Ini, but is this really true? Is this really the bottom line that when you give a gift to someone, you have to inform him? Ha'amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina Hanosein Matanu L'Chavero. Ain't Sarach Lahodia. We find the statement going in the opposite direction, with also a proof text. Shenemar Moshe Lo Yada Ki Karan Or Panav Bidabro Ito. That Moshe was totally unaware that he had a radiant light coming out of his forehead when he was teaching Klal Yisrael. So we see that God gave him this gift of radiance, and Moshe wasn't even aware that it was a God-given gift. Lo kasha, ha b'milsa da'avira l'gluya. If someone will tap Moshe on the shoulder and say, hey, you know your forehead's radiating, so he'll say, oh, that must be a gift from God. And who else could give him such a gift? So it's something that there's no need for God to inform Moshe, because he'll realize it. He'll understand it in Mela. When we have a gift that you wouldn't know who the donor is, then you have to inform. I mean, where else would Shabbos come from? But from God. Isn't it clear that this is a gift of God? Why did God have to give tell Moshe, tell Kal Yisrael? Matan Tzchara Lo Avida L'Gluya. Shabbos has this hidden element in it. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, that we wouldn't know that the hidden element is a gift of God. That's what God pointed out. The fact that Klal Yisrael are not working on Shabbos, that's obvious to everyone. That's a gift of God. But the fact that they're not working means that they have the ability, they have the potential to link into spiritual worlds on that day. That's a gift that God has to inform us about, because he wouldn't be aware otherwise that this whole gift, the broadness of the gift, was being given. We'll stop over here and just try and think about what is being said, and namely that it appears in the Gemara that the default position is that generally you should tell someone when you give him a gift. It appears to be counterintuitive. We would think that the highest level of giving a gift is when you give it anonymously. That when you tell someone, hey, you know, I just gave you a gift, it appears that you want him to pat you on your back. You want him to compliment you. It appears that you're fishing, right? You're fishing for a compliment. That what happens to the pasuk Katznei Alechet Im Hashem Elokecha? Isn't the person supposed to be modest in all of his demeanor? Vayish Moshe Anav Maod. Why in the world would we have a situation where you would dafka inform someone that you gave him a gift? I remember once when I was a student by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I went over to him and I told him I was thinking of taking upon myself a certain mode of behavior, and my question was whether that mode of behavior would be mechsi ki yuhara. Would it appear as though I may be doing this as a form of ga'ava, as a form of haughtiness? So Rav Aaron told me, David, that's not mechsi ki yuhara, that's yuhara. He said, certainly that's haughtiness. You know, you're a kid. You shouldn't be doing things like that. You know, that's a great tzaddikim to do. It's not for you to get involved in. So why over here should you dafka go over to people and say, hey, you know, that book that you found on your table, I gave it to you. Or you when you go to the mailbox, you'll find a book. You should just know that my wife and I, it's a gift from us. Well, it appears to be strange. So Rashi was bothered by this. Let's look in Rashi. Rashi is on the top, the third line, in the middle of the line, Sarach Lahodio, Matan Ploni Etein Lecha, V'Zederach Kavod, D'Shema Yitbayesh Rekabla, U'mitoch Kach Mitzratzim B'Dvarim Ve'Eno Bosh B'Davar. Rashi says that the function of telling someone that you gave him a gift is to prevent embarrassment. Namely, accepting a gift can be a very embarrassing situation, because the person, the receiver, may say, this person must think I'm poor. This person must think I can't take care of my family. I'm not able to support my family, and that's why he's giving me this gift. But if you explain to him, I know that you don't need this gift from me. You could buy it in a bookstore. You could do whatever you want. But I want to show you my gratitude. You taught my son. I want to give you this gift just to show my gratitude. That takes away any busha, takes away any embarrassment, any misunderstanding. So over here, Rashi is telling us that dafka, there is a positive aspect to telling someone that you're the donor in order to remove embarrassment. Then Rashi continues, v'chein im nisana bebeito shalom miyediyato. If the issue is one of busha is at the moment that the person receives it. Well, let's say the person already has it. Let's say a teacher walks into a classroom and he finds a book on his desk at the end of the year. So he already received it and no one's around. So there's no embarrassment. Clearly it's a gift from the class, from someone in the class. But then, tzorach lahodio, but the teacher gets a phone call from one of the parents. She'miyado ba'alo. You should just know that my son had the best year of learning this year and I don't know how to thank you. And so I left a book on your table to show you my thanks. Then, kach mitoch kach yehei ohavo. that creates a relationship between people. That creates love. And what Rashi's pointing out is that there are two positive results of informing an individual that you're giving him a gift. It'll remove embarrassment on one hand. It'll create a relationship. It'll create a relationship of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha on the other hand. And therefore, you should inform him. Mashma from Rashi, that if these two don't apply, namely, if Lehefech, by your informing him, you would create embarrassment, or it's unnecessary for you to inform him in order to create Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, then Pum Faker, then the default position is not to inform. And that's what we see over here in Tosfos. Hanosein Matana L'Chaveiro, the third Tosfos, Dafka B'Matana Shenosein Lo Ayedei Ahava. We're dealing over here specifically with a gift which is given to show a sense of friendship. Shein HaMekabel Mitbayesh. That then you're informing him would take away Busha, as Rashi points out. Aval Hanosein Tzedaka. But when you're giving charity, shahamakabel mitbayesh, and then the individual who's on the receiving end feels horrible that this individual knows that he can't take care of his family. It's a very, very embarrassing situation. Then matan b'seter yichapeaf. Then we have a pasuk in Mishlei of Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men. This is a time for anonymity. This is a time simply to put an envelope in the mailbox, knock on the door, and just leave. Don't, in other words, that no one should be involved in this process. That should appear to be a gift from heaven. That there's no individual as the giver. So, in other words, if informing who's the giver will remove embarrassment, then inform. If pum fakert, if informing would create embarrassment, then don't inform. Hu hadin in terms of the sense of friendship we saw in the Gemara. Then when we have a situation of avida l'kluye, the person will add one and one, and he'll understand who's giving him the gift. Moshe understands that the rays of light coming out of his forehead are a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then hatznei lechet, then the tzniut is better. Then it's better not to inform. Only when the person would not know otherwise who gave it to him, and knowing would create friendship, only then would one inform. That's Rashi's approach, namely that our gut feeling is correct. Basically, one should not inform that one is giving a gift. This whole sugya is when informing will prevent embarrassment, or when informing will create friendship, then there's an inyan to announce things. However, even though this is Rashi's perush, on the other side of the page, I photostat it for you. I apologize for the size of the letters. From the volume of Rav Kook on the Agadita of Shas, he has a volume on Brachos, he has a volume on Shabbos, Ein Ayah, this is from Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kook, he has a totally different approach to the sugya, in which he basically says that our sugya wants to explain an axiom or wants to take an axiom of Judaism and put it into the practical world. And so if it's okay with you that we'll read together, Rav Kook's language is relatively difficult for everyone to understand, certainly including myself. So we're doing Sif Yud Dalet. Sif Katan Yud Dalet. It's in the the right-hand side, so on the left-hand part of the right-hand side, towards the bottom, you have over there a Yud Dalet, where Rav Kook explains Hakarat Tova, meaning the third line. Hakarat Tova hi ha'amud ha'musari ha'yoter gadol v'nisgav. The Rav Kook wants to tell us that if we have to find a principle that will help an individual to develop spiritually, that we want to create an ethical personality. The Rav has a book called Halachic Man. So if we want to create an ethical, moral man, and we'd ask ourselves what trait would be at the center of this ethical, moral man. So Rav Kook says, Hakarat HaTov, being able to recognize the goodness that other people do towards him, that would be at the core of his personality, being grateful. Grateful is at the core of the personality, of an ethical personality. We have in Pirkei Avos, Eza hi derech ra'ah, shi yitrachek yimenu ha'adam, Harove ve'eino mishalem. Echad rove mibnei Adam ve'echad rove mihakadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who's on the receiving end and doesn't express gratitude, whether it's the receiving end of a person who did him a favor or God who always is doing him a favor, then that's a derech ra'ah. There's something rotten over here in the personality. And Rav Kook continues to explain, kishi yitpateach kol tzarko belibot b'nei Adam, that when this midah is able to be brought from the potential to the actual within people's hearts, yihyeh ozer ma'od el ha'tikun ha'kali. Rav Kook is into tikun olam. He's into taking our broken world and fixing it. And he says, if only people were to have this midah of hakarat hatov, if only they were to develop it, if this midah were to mature within them, this would change the world. And he points out that nowadays, anuro im gam achshav, and again, Rav Kook lived in the middle of the 20th century. We're now in the first quarter of the 21st century, even though those of us who were born in the 20th century find that hard to deal with. But Rav Kook dealt with a period of close to 100 years ago, and nothing has changed. In other words, that he's dealing with a Western society in which the ego, in which the I principle, pursuit of pleasure, the worst excesses of capitalism, abuse, v'chule, v'chule, people are very, very much into me, into myself. Even now, in this period of time, we do find, because a rays of light, we do find these pockets of gratitude. And if you look, if you just move over to the next column, about the third line, he points out, kibud horim, in terms of parents, particularly after death. When we think about all the people who come to shul to say Kaddish, we haven't seen these people in shul for a very, very long time. It's not easy for them to come to shul daily for an entire year, particularly if they come twice a day for an entire year. They really never express this gratitude towards their parents during the parents' lifetime, but they feel now it's a time of closure. In other words, I owe something to my parents. This is the last Torah. This is my last opportunity to show my father, my mother, what I received from them. So we find this concept of gratitude being expressed. Where does it come from? I mean, the whole society doesn't stress gratitude, so it means that we're hardwired for gratitude. That's what Rav Kook points out, that God built it within us, that we have this natural tendency towards gratitude, but it's covered over with all of the layers and layers of society. But sometimes it breaks through. It can break through halavai during a parent's lifetime, but by many situations it breaks through after the parent passes away. But if one thinks about it, the amount of gratitude that we owe our parents, certainly we wouldn't be here without our parents. But without a third party, we also certainly wouldn't be here, and that's God. And somehow to express gratitude towards God, that's beyond most people. So Rav Kook wants to explain that maybe it's just too overwhelming for people to thank God for every breath that one breathes, right? To thank God for every opportunity that one has to smile, to thank God for every opportunity that one has to accomplish anything in life. Thank God for life itself is something which is very, very difficult for most individuals. Were we able to do it, then we would bring about the end of days, namely that gratitude is catching. But it's very, very hard for us. And basically, when you think about it, all Torah u'mitzvos are opportunities to thank God. They're all opportunities to show gratitude. We show gratitude by doing someone's will. And derech eretz kadma l'Torah. We would certainly, by behaving in a moral manner, that would be the highest form of gratitude to God. Imitation is the finest form of flattery, right? In other words, that mahu rachum afata rachum. I want to behave in a moral manner because God behaves in a moral manner. I want to give because God gives. I want to imitate God. I want to link into God. All of this is what Rav Kook points out over here in this section. And he points out that for individuals who have a poetic soul, so rather than just write poetry to a girlfriend, we could write poetry to God. That's what David HaMelech did. He simply took his poetic license and he wrote Sefer Tehillim. And this would bring about a whole change of attitude of everyone. What does this also do with our sugya? So if you look over here in this long paragraph, five lines from the bottom, four words into the line, you have an ayin kaf. Al kein. That's, in other words, after the whole introduction we just gave. Al kein koma shiyavi liyadeinu. If we have any opportunity, lahashrish b'leiv b'nei adam, that we can in some way initiate in other individuals, v'litein makom l'koach ha'na'ala shel hakarat ha'tovah shiyagdil, that we would help another individual to work on this midah of gratitude, v'yetze el ha'poal, to move from the potential. And again, it's built in. We're hardwired for gratitude. We all have the potential. We just have to actualize it. If we can take that opportunity of actualizing hakaras ha'tov in other people, he aleinu chova gedola. According to Rav Kook, if this is what's going to bring about Mashiach, that people are going to feel gratitude towards God, and we have that opportunity of unleashing that force, we have the opportunity of opening the door to gratitude, that's an obligation on every individual. L'ma'an teit derech la'yesod ha'na'ala sha'atid l'kachat chelek gadol b'tikun ha'olam, to be able to create a foundation that would allow for tikun ha'olam, that would allow for the whole world to come to its fruition, haklali. Not just the question of the Jewish people, but the entire world, the entire universe is waiting for mankind to serve as God's partner. And here we have the key to the change in human society. Here we have the key to the change in human behavior. Liot mitchazeku mitrachev. And here now the core of our sugya, the next few lines. Al kein, we're moving to the paragraph over here, we're on the left page, on the bottom of the right-hand corner. Al kein anosei matana l'chaveru. Now we get to the sugya. So if you give a gift to your friend, shekefi hanimus ha-enoshi, that humanity, not talking over here about something Jewish, but simply there's a human reflex, behodala makabel yimalei levavo rikshei hakarat ha-tova, that when you know who's giving you a gift, you feel internally a sense of gratitude. Namely, that when you give a gift anonymously, there's no way that the individual who receives it can express thanks. Who's he going to express thanks to? But if you tell him who gave the gift, you tell him, I gave you a gift, you enable him to express gratitude towards you. The more gratitude he expresses in his lifetime, the more that becomes part and parcel of his personality. Now again, the giver, I want to be tzanua. I want to be modest. I'm not interested in blowing my own horn. I'm not interested in honor. But I want to help the other party. I want to help the receiver to build himself as an individual. I want to help him to build up his personality. I want to help him to mature as a human being. And therefore, I'm going to override my desire for anonymity, I'm going to override my desire for tzniut, in order to be able to help someone else reach his potential. Hayesod ha-musari sha'atid liyot noter chelok gadol b'hatavat ha-metziut, that since my sense of anonymity, that's between me and myself, but helping someone to show gratitude, that could bring about a change in society. And that is the core of bringing about the change of the society. That's the key to bring about a change. Roi le tapcho. So this is something that should be stressed in life. Liten lo makom litrachev. I have to try and do my best that this feeling of gratitude should spread from person to person. V'chol regesh katan mitzteref el hatikun haklali kishiyukar b'kol kocho. And any time, even in a small, in something small, you mentioned to someone, I saw your car by the meter, and so I put in money so that you shouldn't get a ticket. So what did I put in? I put in a quarter, right? It's not a big deal, but he'll feel gratitude because I saved him a $25 ticket or whatever I saved him. If that feeling can be reinforced over and over and over, it can change the entire world. So Rav Kook understands that over here in the Gemara, we're not dealing over here like according to Rashi that we want to create friendship, that we want to remove embarrassment. No. We have a midah called hakarat hatov. We have a midah called gratitude. That's the core of existence. It's been covered over. We just have these rays of kibud avim, lifetime after death, etc. What we want to do is make this a part of people's personality. The more that we can, it's like smiling. The more you smile at someone, he'll smile back at you. The more that you create opportunities for gratitude, the more that the community can be changed. There's someone dafka here in the room who, when he was in Grus, always used to thank the Gabbai and thank the Balkori and thank the Shliach Tzibur v'chule. I used to go bananas because why thank them? They're doing their job, and shouldn't people just do things anonymously? He understood this much better than I did. He understood that bringing about a sense of gratitude changes people's personality. That it's something which is very, very positive. There is a statement in Pirkei Avos, Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh. The Rambam over there says that what that means is if you have $1,000, you have two opportunities of giving it: to give the entire $1,000 to the shul, or to give 100 $10 bills to different institutions. So the Rambam says, not saying that this is what we have to do, but the Rambam says that the latter way is going to build within you a sense of giving. You get used to giving over and over. It'll give you a personality of giving. The one-time gift is wonderful, and sometimes it's very, very necessary, but it doesn't necessarily create a personality. So over here, the Gemara is pointing out that we should try and help people be personalities, ba'alei hakarat hatov, be personalities of gratitude, by creating opportunities for them to say thank you. It's like with your kids, right? Whenever you give them something, you say, say thank you. Say thank you. You know, two magic words, whatever. In other words, that's chinuch. What you're doing is that you are educating them. You're building it into their personality. Isn't it nice that when you go over to someone else's kid and you give him something like a candy, he'll say thank you? You know, you say, wow, what an educated kid. Like, well, that's really special. But it shouldn't be the unusual. It shouldn't be the exception. But the Rav Kook says this is the concept over here of the klal. I promised my wife I'm going to finish at 9 o'clock. Not that we're going out on a date at 9 o'clock, but she's speaking to the women at 9 o'clock. So I just want to end with a beautiful, beautiful word. I think I view it as a beautiful word that I heard once from Rav Nissen Kaplan, who's a Rosh Hashiva in the Mir, regarding a Gemara in the Darim on Daf Nun Amad Aleph, because it relates very much over here to what we're talking about. If we deal with gratitude as a axiom of Judaism, there's a corollary, for those who are mathematically inclined, called Samech Bechelko. Namely, that I'm happy for what I have. I recognize that whatever I have is really a tremendous amount. I can see the cup being more than half full. I recognize all the gifts that I am receiving. Samech Bechelko is a corollary of Hakara Satov. So Rav Nissen Kaplan pointed out that on Daf Nun Amud Aleph in the Darim, we have the story of Rachel and Rabbi Akiva, how when they got married, they lived in very, very poor conditions, that Rachel was the daughter of a millionaire, and he swore that he's not going to give a penny to his daughter because she eloped with the shepherd, who was a total Amaretz, he didn't know anything, etc. And they were very, very, very poor. And two stories happened, and after those two stories, Rachel told her husband, now I want you to go learn. And it's sort of strange. What happened? That they were living, they had nothing. All they had was straw. So they used to sleep in the straw. And in the morning, as they were taking the straw out of their hair, Rabbi Akiva turned to his wife Rachel and said, someday I'm going to give you the most beautiful piece of jewelry called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. I'm going to give you a Jerusalem of gold, this beautiful piece of jewelry that you'll be able to wear on top of your hair instead of this straw that you're taking out. That was story number one. And then there was a knock on the door, and it was Eliyahu Hanavi. And Eliyahu made believe he was a husband whose wife was about to give birth. And so my wife is about to give birth. She doesn't have a bed to lie down in order to be in labor. Do you have some straw you can lend me that I can put under my wife? And Rabbi Akiva gave, the shepherd, gave the straw to Eliyahu and turned to his wife and says, isn't it wonderful that we can give gifts to other people? Even though we don't have that much, we have more than others, and we can give them gifts. At that point, Rachel told Rabbi Akiva, go to learn. What's the connection? So Rav Nissen Kaplan said that in order to go to learn, you have to have two characteristics in order to be able to become great in learning. A, you have to have ambition. You have to have she'ifot. You have to be able to see, when I am able to afford to, I'll give you a Jerusalem of gold. But B, you also have to be sameach b'chelko. You have to be happy with what you have. If you start off with the point of being happy with what you have, then your ambitions can bring you to greatness. Korach, in this coming week's parasha, he wasn't happy. He had ambitions, but he wasn't happy. He viewed himself as a nothing. He didn't realize, I'm a Levi, I'm a Jew, I have so much. If you start off from a point of recognizing what you have, then your ambitions can bring you to a very positive place. If you start off viewing yourself as having nothing, then ambitions are just going to be grandiose delusions. So over here, what Rav Kook felt that the core of life is hakarah satov, is gratitude. It plays itself out that Rachel saw that her husband had the sense of gratitude to God and the proper ambitions, and would become great if she'll sacrifice her own comfort for him, which is what she did. Korach, on the other hand, his wife pushed him in the other direction, according to Chazal, and to follow ambitions without the starting off point of gratitude, without feeling a sense of what he has currently, and those ambitions simply caused him a self-destruction. We should all hear Besoros Tovos, and it was wonderful learning with you, and the Mirza Shem will have an opportunity in the future in Eretz Yisrael.
Thank you very much.